changed by the Spirit of God. Pastor Carringer, why don't you come up and preach to us?
All right. Thank you, Brother Vercellus. I appreciate the invitation this morning. Thank you, Dr. Parsons, for that. And what a joy to be able to be a part of this Christian school revival this morning. And so we're just thrilled. What an opportunity to be in a Christian school, to be able to, I mean, think about it. If you wasn't in chapel this morning listening to the Word of God, you'd have to be in a class doing work, right? And so this is a good place to be, whether you want to be here or not. How many of you, of course, I decipher the college. How many of you, this is your last year of school, you're seniors this year. Would you raise your hand? Several of you? All right, some of you, good. And almost got it whipped. Year will go by fast. What an honor to be here. I love the Landmark Baptist Church and ministries. I have so much to be thankful for. It's invested in my life. Went to college here, graduated in 1997, and all of my children have come through here at some point. And so we're just so grateful for the investment that in many of the students and kids from our church. And so we're grateful for the investment. And our prayer is always asking God to bless Landmark. And it's good to see Dr. Pitts. We get to share 6 grandkids together. And we have a special connection there. And sure appreciate the friendship. You got your Bibles this morning? Did I get this on? We on? Testing? We here? All right. And take your Bibles and go to the Old Testament, the book of Amos this morning, the book of Amos. And the book of Amos. How many of you know who little Johnny is? Little Johnny? And some of y'all know who little Johnny is, so little Johnny was in his class, and you know, he's got a reputation, and so he goes up to his teacher and he pecks the teacher on the shoulder and he says, "My dad says that if things don't straighten up with my grades, somebody's going to be in trouble. And I just wanted to give you that warning." And so little Johnny thought maybe he could pass it on to the teacher. He was out on the playground one day and he was roughing around with somebody. He started making funny faces at one of the other kids there on the playground. And so his teacher come up to him and said, Johnny, and I was told when I was young that if I made ugly faces like that, my face would freeze that way. And little Johnny looked up to his teacher and said, "Well, at least you were warned." And bad little Johnny. We don't need little Johnny. Little Johnny needs demerits, right? And so... But it's bad when little Johnny goes home, because he come home one day and his mom was putting on that cold cream, all that stuff. And he looked at his mom and said, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, "I'm trying to make myself beautiful." And so he was just watching all that. Then she started wiping all that stuff off. And he looked at her just a moment and he goes, "Mom, you can try again tomorrow." And bad little Johnny. All right. And so we'll stay off of little Johnny. All right. Turn in your Bibles, Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? And I want to pick up reading here about verse number 7. Amos chapter number 7. If you want to try to go home and do that with your mom, you go right ahead, but don't you tell her you learned that from me, all right? Amos chapter 7. I don't know about you, but I had a beautiful mother. I'm so thankful for her. Amos chapter 7. The Bible says this, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. I want to speak to you on this subject for a few minutes. A carnal mind has a hard time with a spiritual message. A carnal mind has a hard time with a spiritual message. Father, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this group of young people that are here today, Lord, from the Christian school and also from the college. Lord, we thank you for this place. What a special place. Lord, you've blessed it and you continue to bless it. And we're grateful for that. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us in this moment. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be present. I pray that the kingdom and the will of God would be furthered in our life, and that you'd send something from heaven. Father, thank you for what has happened in this chapel revival yesterday and today. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless again this morning. Now, Father, we love you and we thank you for your blessings. And I pray that you'd stir hearts. I pray that you'd save that one that's nearest hell. I pray, Father, that you would encourage that one who needs encouraging and that you would revive the one that needs to be revived. And please bless the preaching of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amos was called to be a preacher. He didn't grow up in a preacher's home. He was really, I guess you could call him a farmer. He worked in the fields and was a herdman and gathered crops in. And in the middle of that, God called him to preach. And he said, I want you to go preach to Israel. I want you to give them my word. And he sent Amos with a message of judgment. Amos was preaching during the days of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a king that did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us that that Jeroboam was placed there by God, but he was not appreciative of that position that God gave him. Preacher came to him one time and said, if you'll do what's right in the eyes of God, God will bless you. And he took that and he dismissed it and he went and he did his own thing, even created really his own religion. And so Amos is sent to preach and he preaches truth in a land that really didn't want truth. And by the way, can I stop and say that we need to understand that sometimes we'll run to a fluff message rather than a message of truth. But listen to me carefully. Fluff does nothing for us, but truth will help us. And so Amos was giving them truth when they really wanted fluff. And so we find that God shows Amos something, and he shows him the picture of the plumb line. And so I want to give you some things. I want you to think about this with me, about the vision that Amos saw, and the message, or at least the response of the message, that came from the priest and the king. And so, first of all, I want you to notice the measure. All right. Look at what God said in verse number 7. The Bible says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. Now the wall, everything was kind of typology here because the wall represented Israel. And the Bible tells us that the Lord himself stood upon the wall. And so the Lord is the measurer. Let me say that again. The Lord is the measurer. Would you say that with me? The Lord is the measure. All right, would you say that with me this morning? The Lord is the measure. And so a plumb line was how they made sure a wall was straight. And they would take a line and the measure would hold that. It had a weight on the bottom of it. And so they would measure whether the wall was straight by that plumb line. And so the Bible says that Amos saw God standing on the wall, and he was measuring the wall to find out if the wall was straight. And so we need to, first of all, let's picture this in our minds, that the Lord does the measuring. We need to understand that God is going to measure our life. He is not the one. We sometimes think, well, I'm going to measure my life by my friends, or I'm going to measure my life by my culture. I'm going to measure my life by my own ideology, by what I think and what I've created. But that's not the way it's going to be. The Lord himself is the one that's going to measure us. In Daniel chapter 5, we find that the king and possibly the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was so influential on the life of Nebuchadnezzar, but his grandson was a wicked man, and he cared nothing about the holy things of God. He took those holy vessels and he said, let's have us a beer party. And they poured alcohol, that wicked drink, inside those holy vessels. And they were having a party there. And he gathered all the people around. And the Bible says that the finger of God showed up. One of the three times the finger of God showed up in the Word of God. And he wrote on the wall. And the Bible tells us that God himself said that you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Who did the weighing? God did. God did the weighing. God does the measuring, and he measures us. Turn to Romans chapter 2 in your Bibles with me this morning. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 1 lays out a message to the world, and Romans chapter 2 weighs a message to the religious world. And God makes a statement here in Romans chapter 2, and I want you to see this here. And God says in verse number 6, watch this statement. I don't have time to get into the whole context, but I want you to just notice what God says. God says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 6, are you there with me? If you're looking at Romans 2, 6, give me a big amen. I know you're there. The Bible says, talking about God, in fact, look at verse number 5. But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The what kind of judgment of God? Righteous. Judgment of God. He's the one that does the measuring. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. God's the renderer. God's the measurer. And so he stands on the wall, and so he's the one that looks. And so we're building a wall. Israel was building a wall. We're building a wall, but God's going to measure if that wall is proper or not. Are you with me on that thought? Now, not only do we see the measure, but we see the measure. Go back to Amos chapter 7. The measurer has a measure. And verse number 8 talks about the measure. And it says in verse 8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. Now, the plumb line was the standard of God. It was the righteous standard of God. It would be, where do we find the righteous standard of God? Where do we find it? When the gentleman got up here and talked about the pledges, he held up the King James Bible and he says, we're going to pledge to this. Do you understand that the plumb line, the righteous standard of God, is his word? It is the Bible. We need to understand that the measurer, God, measures everything by the Word of God. John chapter 12, literally, Jesus, as he was preaching, as they were denying and rejecting the Word of God, he said, you need to understand something, that this very book, this very Word that you're rejecting, you will have to stand before it one day and give an account. You know, we think about one day I'll stand before God. We're not just going to stand before God. We're going to stand before His Word. We're going to stand before the Word of God. And so as we think about this, the measure, and so as he looks at this, he sees the plumb line, and how does he measure the wall? He measures it by the righteous standard, which is the Word of God. This is so important. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at something here real quickly. Because here's what happens. We like to manufacture our own idea of what's right and wrong, right? We justify ourselves. That's what man does. Man's been doing that since the very beginning. But we like to manufacture. I feel this is right. I feel this is wrong. And here's the problem with that. The problem with it is God's not going to judge us by our standards. God's going to judge us by His standards. That's why the book of Proverbs says more than once, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We can do what seems right. I heard about a man that went to buy something in the store the other day, and he laid down a $20 bill. And how many of you have ever seen anybody when you lay down cash? Of course, a lot of people use cards now. I like using cash because I'm just a little bit of a rebel on everything, right? But they take that and they pop it, pop, pop, pop. Then they take out the pen and they do that, and then they run it through the machine. And you ever lay down cash and are trying to find out if it's real or counterfeit? Kind of makes you feel like you want to say, I just printed that this morning, right? But here's the true story. Man laid down a $20 bill, and the lady at the counter says, I can't take this. He says, what do you mean you can't take this? She says, it's not real, it's counterfeit. Now, isn't that disappointing to have a $20 bill and can't use it? I mean, carrying around a 20, I got 20 bucks, I got 20 bucks, I got 20 bucks, I got 20 bucks, and find out it's not even real. Somebody made, and so it was a counterfeit, all right? And so she has, and he had to stay there while the police was called, all right? And so the police came and then find out that that this person got it from a friend who got it from an ATM machine where a bank teller pulled out a real 20 and stuck in a fake 20 in the ATM machine. Think about that. Now, there's a big difference between a real 20 and a counterfeit 20, right? And we need to understand something, that God is the measurer, and He's got a plumb line. The Word of God will show us the difference between what's real and what's not real. And we get this idea that I'm my own justifier. We're not going to stand before us, and we're not, and we bounce things off. Hey, what do you think? Tell me what you think about this. Is this right or wrong? All right? Is it right or wrong? All right? And so is it right or wrong? Tell me one of them. Just pick one. It's right. All right? Now, the thing about it is, He may be right in that. He may not be right, but I'm not going to stand before Him one day. I'm going to stand before the Word of God. Are you with me on this? Now, watch this here. Go to, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you find this, look at verse number 9 with me for just a moment. God's talking about one of the judgments, but I want you to see this here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. And God says this. He says, wherefore we labor that whether, and He's talking to saved people here, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, meaning whether on earth or in heaven, we may be accepted of Him. Notice, accepted of Him. He is the one who determines what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And He goes on to say in verse 10, and He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be what? Talk to me. What's the two options? Good or bad? Say that with me. Good or bad? Say it. Good or bad? Right or wrong? Who determines what's right or wrong? God does. How does He determine? And God is not, this is not something that's emerging. You don't understand. This is not grandma and grandpa's day anymore. Listen to me carefully. The Bible is not emerging. God's not deciding what's right and deciding what's wrong. He has already decided what's right and what's wrong, and it's right here and it's stated here. Are you with me on that this morning? And so we see the measure, who is the Lord. The measure is the Word of God, the plumb line. And so One of these days, we're going to have to stand before it and give an account. But number three, I want you to notice the measured. Who are the measured? Look at verse number 8. You need to understand this, that God is actually measuring us. Look what he says in verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. Now, he was in this passage referring to Israel. But the New Testament tells us that everything in the Old Testament was for our example and our admonition, which means if he measures Israel, he's going to measure us. We need to understand that God measures people. God measures us. We are the measured. And it doesn't matter if you're lost without Christ this morning. God's going to measure you by the word of God. If we're saved and Jesus is in our heart, he's going to measure us, not to determine whether we're going to go to heaven or not, but determine what our rewards will be and our suffering loss will be. I hear people say this, well, as long as I just squeak through heaven and it doesn't matter if I get any rewards in heaven, it just doesn't matter. I probably shouldn't use this word, but that's stupid. That's just dumb. We ought to want as many rewards in heaven as we can get. And so, but the saved is going to be, the Bible tells us that there's three categories of people. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3, you will find that there's three categories of people. There is the natural man, that's the lost man. There is the spiritual saved man, and there is the carnal saved person. The carnal saved person is saved, but they actually act more like they're lost than they're saved. And God says, the plumb line, there's going to be a measuring of all three of these. Every lost person will stand before the word of God at the great white throne judgment. Every saved person will stand before the word of God at the judgment seat of Christ when Jesus tries our works to find out if they were good or bad. Did we live for him or did we live for ourselves after we're saved? And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that God is going to take all of the works that we have done since the time we accepted Christ as our Savior. And the plumb line is the Word of God. The measure is God. And the Bible tells us he's going to measure us. And so with this in mind, and you say, well, preacher, I'm good at talking my way out of trouble. You're not going to talk your way out of any trouble with God. Because he's not going to take even our argument as the measuring tool. Everything is measured by the word of God. Are you with me on this? That's why it's important that we get in it now to know what's right and what's wrong. And the story, Amos brings the word of God. And God takes the word of God and God begins to measure. There's two people in this story. There's a priest and a king. The king is Jeroboam. The priest is Amaziah. And so Amos is preaching to the people of Israel. He's bringing the word of God. By the way, every time we hear the word of God preached, there's the plumb line. We're being measured. God's laying it in front of us for us to do some measuring. All right? We're the wall. We've got to get our wall and we got to get it fixed. And here comes Amaziah and Amos is preaching and Amaziah goes to the king and he says, King, he says, Amos is in town and he's preaching and he's saying some stuff that's heavy. And he said, we got to get rid of this guy. That's what he said. I mean, look, he tells him that. Look at verse number, look at what he tells him here. He's in the midst of the people of Israel, and he says that to him there in verse 8, 9, and 10, and all of that there. And so finally, Amaziah goes to Amos, and Amaziah tells Amos, he says, you don't belong here. You're just a visionary. You're dreaming this stuff up. You're just a seer. And he said, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go down to Judah, back where you're from, because that's where he was farming at, down towards Jerusalem. He says, go back to Judah. That's where you belong. Go down there and get some bread. He accused him of preaching just for what he can get out of it. That's what he did. He said, you're just preaching to get bread out of us up here anyway. You see how blessed we are up here. You see how prosperous we are up here. And you just come up here. You're just up here trying to get something from us anyway. And he says, you get on out of here. Don't you preach here again. Well, I like what Amos says to Amaziah in verse 11 and 16 and 17. He tells him, God called me. I will preach and I'm going to give you God's word, whether you like it or not. And then he tells him, and he makes the statement to him that God is not going to pass by here anymore. Now, what he means by that was the fact that God is no longer going to use his mercy. He's not going to pass over the plumb line anymore. If you're guilty, God is going to hold you accountable for being guilty. Do you realize that we can exhaust the mercy of God? How many's ever heard your parents say, I'm fed up? Ever said something like that? All right? No more mercy. All right? Not going to bail you out anymore. God was telling Israel through the preaching of Amos, when I measure you, I'm sticking with what the book says. I'm not going to use mercy anymore. That's what he was telling them. And so as we think about this story, as we think about it, we are being measured by the word of God. We're building a wall. Is your wall crooked? You listening to me? How's your wall? Is it crooked? God's measuring it by his word. We got some choices to make. When the word of God is preached, when we're the word of God is there, and we've got it in our room, we got it in our house, it's there at the church, it's there in the school, and when it's given and it's brought to us, every time we hear it, there's a measuring taking place. And so we got some choices to make. Number one, we can dismiss it, like Jeroboam did. When you read the story, you'll find that Amos preached, Amaziah heard his message and took it back to Jeroboam. Jeroboam just dismissed it. He didn't care. He just said, so what? Jeroboam was a very bold man, and he had dismissed it on day one when God gave it to him, and he went to the kingdom, and so he just dismissed it. It's just the word of God. It's no big deal. We can do that. We can dismiss it. Or we can despise it, like Amaziah did. Amaziah got mad about it. Do you know, there's a short verse in the Bible I want you to be aware of. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there in the New Testament. He despised it. He got mad about it. And look what God tells us not to do. Now, I see people do this all the time. The word of God is preached like Amos preached it, and people get mad. They despise it. They leave the building and they start talking about it. And they're angry about it. Look what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20 says. Just a three little word. It's just one word bigger than Jesus wept. All right? All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. I want us to all read it together. Look what God says. Look what he says. Are you there? Are you ready? Let's read it together right now. Despise not prophesying. You know what that means? Stop getting angry at the preaching. God's throwing a measuring out at us, and we're getting mad about it. The only reason that we would get mad about it if our wall is crooked. The only reason that we're angry that a plumb line has been held all of our life is because we are crooked and not where we need to be, and therefore we begin to despise it and get angry at it because it's exposing the error in our life. That's what happens. It's exposing something. And God says honesty, and we have dishonesty. And so it's exposing. And so we can despise it, or we can dodge it. It's interesting. A lot of people dodge it, you know, and what they do there. It's interesting that this is what Amaziah said to Amos. Go down to Judah. The house of God's down there. They'll probably take your message down there. Up here, we have the king's chapel. Now, the king's chapel was a man-made, if you will, church service. It was a man-made religion where people could come in and feel good. But there was no measuring tool there. The word of God wasn't preached there. Some people just dismiss it. No big deal. Some people despise it. Arr, angry. You preach to me. Some people just dodge it. They just say, I'm going to go find the king's chapel, and I'm just going to do it that way. And by the way, a lot of churches around here are like the king's chapel. We don't like what the book says, so we just create our own. We just write our own book. We write our own policies. We create our own measuring tool. But I want to tell you something that will not hold up in eternity. God's got a plumb line. God's the measure. God's got to measure the word of God, and he's measuring us. Or we can do something. We can discover the word of God and let it do something for us. Look at Amos chapter 7 and verse number 16. Amos chapter 7 and verse number 16. Look what the Bible says. He says, "Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord." Would you say that with me? Hear thou the word of the Lord. How many know what this is? How many know what this is? How many have no idea what this is? God's got a plumb line. I'm not a contractor by trade. In fact, I tear more things up trying to fix it than anything. And when we have a project going on around the church, my men tell me to go soul winning. They don't trust me with a hammer in my hand. And but this tells us whether something's straight or not. It tells us whether it's where it needs to be. And you need to understand that every time the Word of God is open, we're being measured. And we've got to find out, and it's up to us to fix the wall if the wall's not straight. And so, you know, we think about our life, how's our honesty? How's our idea of right and wrong? How's it going to measure up? God just lays it here and says, "All right, no, you're not where you need to be." Are we gonna discover it and say, "All right, Lord, I'll make the necessary changes"? Or are we going to get mad at God? Are we going to just dismiss it? Are we going to say, "You know what? I'm just going to find me a place to go that doesn't have a measuring tool"? What are we going to do about it? We think about what's right and wrong. We think about the way we dress. We think about our words and our tongues and our mouth and our character and our work ethic and our honesty. We think about our behavior. We think about our spirituality. We think about our values. We think about obedience, our attitude. We think about our philosophy. We even can think about our soul salvation. You know, we always get this idea of what gets a person to heaven, but God's already told us what gets us to heaven. We gotta come to Jesus and trust him as our Savior. But what I think, doesn't matter what you think. God's got a plumb line. And he measures, he says, "I'm not gonna pass over the plumb line." God's not gonna rewrite the plan of salvation because you and I had a different idea. God's not gonna change what's right and wrong because you and I have something we wanna do that's wrong. Are you listening to me, young men, young women, this morning? Everything we do, God's going to put the measuring tool up beside of it. And he's going to measure it. And if it's out of whack, he's going to punish. And if it's in line, he's going to reward. Every act of obedience comes with a blessing. And every act of disobedience comes with a curse. Every single one. We've got to measure it and make sure it's right. Would you bow your heads this morning? If you're not here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to put your soul up against the plumb line. "Well, preacher, I don't really think I'm a sinner." You need to put it up against the plumb line. God will show you what sin is. How many could say, "Preacher, I don't want to despise a spiritual message"? When God's trying to straighten my wall, when God is putting me in the measuring, I want to notice it and make the necessary changes in my life. If that's your heart's desire, would you lift your hands this morning? Hands up all over the building. God bless you. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand? The altar's open if you need to use it. And you slip out of your seat and come and find a place. And maybe God showed you some crookedness in the wall today. Just brought some things to your mind that needs to be fixed. The measuring. If you need to be saved, why don't you come and let us know that. Let somebody up here know that. Christ will save you. It's time to fix our philosophy of what's right and wrong and use the plumb line, the Word of God. God's the standard setter. And he's not going to pass over it. I'm not saying that he won't be merciful, and I'm not saying he won't forgive. But at some point, God knows when to say, "Look, I'm not giving you any more mercy. I'm going to pull out the belt. It's time to start whipping you." Because because you're playing with me now. We're not gonna treat this thing like a confessional booth. I want you doing right. Brother Vercellis.